We are the pirates who don't do anything. We just stay at home and lie around. And if you ask us to do anything, we'll just tell you we don't do anything. We're the pirates who don't do anything. We just stay at home and lie around. And if you ask us to do anything, we'll just tell you we don't do anything.
Welcome, welcome, dear listener, to the Pirate Monk Podcast. I am David Mullen here today, and missing, as always, MIA is Nate Larkin. And no, he got called out of town, but we still have our fearless engineer Mondo at the control, so we have no problems today. And we got a really cool show lined up for you, so we don't really need Nate anyway.
That's right.
That's right. So, just a couple of orders of business need to get to. Just coming up, once again, we had talked about last week, but we have the Samson Society Pirate Monk Fraternity Weekend, and that is in Gainesville, Florida. Now, that's my old stomping grounds. That's my alma mater. That's where I did all my football days and all my long nights of, like, hoping I was going to, like, heal and those kind of things. So I'm going to go through trauma in a couple of weeks. But anyway, that is Friday, March 19th at 7 p.m. through Saturday, March 20th. And I think it's over around 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Now, that's going to be held at the Baptist Student Center, and that's 1604 West University Avenue in Gainesville, Florida. And if you need to get in touch with anybody, you can just call Baptist Campus Ministries there in Gainesville, Florida. And the guy who leads all that is a great Samson brother, just a great guy, and his name is Eddie Gilley, and he'll be happy to do that for you. Get you more info and whatever you need. So we have some special guests today. We're going to have the guys from Covenant Eyes coming in, and they're going to be talking to us about software, filtering softwares, and that sort of thing. And in town locally here, I have a friend who's a Samson guy, a Samson brother, and his name is Jesse Thuen, and he's here today. How are you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm
and so to he, go. He's going to kind of – he's ready to – look.
I'm ready.
He's on mic. He's ready to go. And he's going to just sort of fill in today for us and help us understand some of these things about filtering and why we need filters. Are filters a good solution? All those kind of things. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Samson and technology on the Pirate Monk Podcast.
Clean up, everybody everywhere. Clean up, clean up. Everybody do your share. Clean up, clean up. Everybody everywhere. Clean up, clean up. Everybody do your share. Clean up, clean up. Everybody everywhere. Clean up, clean up. Everybody do your share.
And we are back at the Pirate Monk Podcast. I'm your host, David Mullen. Today Nate's out of town, but filling in for him will be Jesse Thuen, who's a local Samson guy, and you're just an expert, aren't you? You're just like a you're just a hot rod technology kind of guy.
I'm all up in that.
All up in the Kool-Aid. Yeah. I don't know the flavor of the Kool-Aid. That's the problem. So
I'm still trying to figure that out.
I don't even know what that means. Hey, as always during this section of the podcast, we do letters and and I'm thinking that you improve on softwares and just in as a ministry almost to that are filters for different things, and I'm sure that, like, in colleges, like, you even work at, like, Vanderbilt, so you must know, like, that whole scene is, like, probably a prime area that would need filtering.
That very sort of much so, yeah. Yeah, they do have some pretty strict filters.
Do they have them on the front end before they even get into the...
Yeah, I mean, for the students, there's a different level of filtering for the students and the rest of the employees. But for my group, there virtually is no filtering.
Right.
Just the nature of what we do.
What you do, yeah.
We really need to be able to yeah. get access to just about anything.
Yeah, any kind of porn you need.
Yeah,
I know
any
that.
Any kind.
Yeah, I get it. So I would think, I know it's, that's the tough thing is, and there's so many institutional things that are like that, just from your local library, to the Army, to colleges, and there's all these freedoms, you know, that other people want, and we, in the name of like, you know, liberty, you know, we can't really like impose our values on them and expect them to act like safe folk, you know.
Right.
If they're not, you know what I mean? But on the other hand, it's like, dang, y'all gonna like just let kids look at porn, you know, and all that kind of thing. But anyway, I did get a letter sort of on that tip. It says, this is a guy named Brian who wrote me. He said, David, hey, I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed listening to you and Nate on the Pirate Monk podcast. It shed so much light on so many of the things that I battle with on a daily basis. I live in a small town in the Midwest and have been inviting men to walk with me and the path of the pirate monk since 2006 after hearing Nate speak at the Godmen conference I went to in Nashville. I haven't been very successful with the invites of the men I've talked to say the least. Most men I've talked to simply say, oh, that sounds nice, or I'm doing fine on my own. And even after giving them a copy of Samson and the Pirate Monks, the answers are still the same. The haunting effects of my own besetting sins and isolation are driving my mind wild with the thoughts of I've got to find a group of men to share my journey with before my isolation becomes an uncomfortable home. They're just prevalent. And so last May, I attended the 48 Hours of Frankness retreat hosted by the Franklin Group. What a 48 hours that was for me. It gave me so much direction in my life and helped me realize that this path is the way I must live my life in order to gain victory and walk in the utter and complete friendship with brothers that actually care to hear my junk and don't mind to get their feet and hands dirty to help another brother drag himself out of the hole. The 48 Hours also made me realize that by investing in the lives of other men and walking side by side with them as they take their trip around the mountain, I would in fact be helping myself. I live about 30 minutes from a military base and about 40 minutes from a major Midwestern university. And with that being said, I know there are tons of hurting men coming back from the war, and there are so many lost students that could use some real transparent and confidential friendship. God has really laid it on my heart to help in any way I can. My question to you is, how do you think I should go about starting a meeting that would attract some interest from some of these men in my area? And I think that, you know, I think that, like, Jesse, that that the book always is the place to start,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I know he says he started with that, but you can, if you think that they're hurting men, you cannot fail to find these men eventually. It just may take longer than it's taken in the past. Now, you give out one book, you give out two books, you know, and it doesn't work out, you know, I don't know. You know, and I don't know what to,
well,
to say to that.
I think that for me, the book was the beginning of the personal journey. I mean,
right.
Fortunately, you know, we've got a great meeting here. I've been able to get involved with right away.
Right away.
You know, the structure was already there.
And you go to the meeting at?
At Franklin.
At Christ Community?
Yeah, at Christ
Community. Mothership meeting.
The mothership meeting.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
But, you know, I think that for this guy, Brian, the important thing is for the men that he, you know, wants to get into fellowship with, for them to see, you know, not so much hear his words as see his actions and see his heart.
Right.
And I think that that's what's going to draw them into a place of honesty. Because, so, frankly, that's the difficult thing is, mm-hmm. you know, getting to a place of wanting to be honest with yourself.
Right. Obviously, Brian is like a lot further down the path than people. So, Brian, to whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
And so, what I'm going to say to you is probably you haven't given out enough books, and that's not really your fault. You know, you're not supposed to be Nate's personal financial person. So, I'm going to say that Nate is going to send you a case of books, Brian. Because he's not here today.
That's right.
And you're going to be able to give those out. And I think that if you, I have not actually given out the book, not one time where the person didn't end up in a Samson meeting. Yeah. Not one time. Yeah. And I've given away over 100 books.
Wow.
So all over the country. So, I'm going to, you know, make sure that, that we send you a little care package, Brian. It may not be a whole case, but I'm going to definitely punish Nate for not being here today. And, actually he's on a mission of mercy, so I shouldn't make fun of him. But really, I think that the thing is just, rinse, wash, repeat. It's washing your hair. It's changing the oil. It's just doing the things you're supposed to be doing over and over again. And of course, you do have an enemy who wants you to be discouraged from doing the right thing. So of course, he's going to like make sure that like it doesn't work out for a while. For us, we live in the, you know, the Protestant Vatican here. You know, it's like you can go you can't go two blocks, can you?
No, you cannot.
Without seeing the church.
No, you cannot.
So it's like there are people who know a little more about their situation and that they're a little more self-aware. They're a little more aware that they are violating things. So that's what I would say. And I'm going to make sure that, that we keep in touch and we'll be, hearing from you again. And I want to hear when you get this group going that the book, the case of books that he's sending you worked out. We'll be right back on the Pirate Monk podcast.
We are the pirates who don't do anything.
We're back on the Pirate Monk podcast. Jesse, why do people, just in general, what's your thought? Like, there are two schools of thought. Like, you shouldn't have an internet filter. You should be able to, like, function without it. Because you're always going to, like, have to go up against sin. And the other school that's, like, kind of like you need it because it's just too powerful.
Well, I mean,
overpowered.
Yeah, the first thing I want to mention is that these are just tools. All of these things are tools, and if you are dead set on, you know, breaking your stride and sinning, you're going to find a way to do it.
Right.
Not to be discouraging, but that's just, I think all of us with an addiction, mm-hmm. any kind of addiction,
right.
are going to be able to find a way to feed that addiction if right. we need to. What these are, these tools, these accountability software and the filters, what they provide is a speed bump. You know, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily a roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first thing that I want to make clear. These are not foolproof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything can be hacked if you're smart enough and if you have enough determination. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Nate always talks about banging up against the bars of the fence, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And and that's the thing. It's like at least there's a fence, you know. So
that's right.
You know, he gets a little antsy or whatever and you know, maybe like tries to bang and very quickly, you know, he can't get anything and that's enough for him. You know what I mean?
And yeah, and it's you know, I mean, honestly it can become enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the tools that are out there can really, I mean, honestly, one of the most effective tools for me is that my wallpaper on my computer is the Pirate Monk flag.
Oh, really?
That our friend Newton made mm-hmm. put up on our Google groups.
Funny.
I want to see that, you know, it just reminds me that this is a daily journey.
Yeah.
It's a job.
Mm-hmm.
I treat it, you know, it's very important. It's to me, it's, you know, bathing myself in the word and,
mm-hmm.
you know, being present and being aware of my addictions and
right.
the temptations that mm-hmm. face me every day. Really helped me to keep up with, my accountability partners and all of that. So,
just a little bit about your background.
Yeah.
You're an IT guy, a computer programmer.
Yeah. Well, I don't program anymore, but I'm a Linux server admin for the hospital.
Mm. Uber nerd.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and having the kind of the low level, you know, computer skills. When I say low level, I mean like, you know, hardware level, able
right.
to get inside of some of the processes that go on,
right.
Makes it a lot easier for me to circumvent some of the tools that are out there.
Right, because you can get there before the software.
Yeah, and so what I have to do is, and I'm sure there's some guys out there that are listening that you know are pretty smart, or they are expected to be smart. You really have to outwit yourself. You really have to work at, you know, you find your weakness, and then, you know, you may not be able to stop yourself in that moment of weakness. But once you get past it and you recognize what it is, you go back and you set up another speed bump to take care of it. And one of the things that I want to talk about, the first thing I wanted to mention was the iPhone, because I think it's probably the most prevalent. We'll get into some Linux stuff here later for the nerds. But, you know, a lot of people have iPhones. And the iPhone can be a very powerful tool. I literally have to have one for my work, because the kinds of tools that are on it, the kind of, you know, email access and phones, and it's my only phone, so if, and I'm on call, so if work needs to get a hold of me, they can. But the iPhone presents an incredible opportunity to look at pornography. It's just a, you know, with that great power, with the tool, you know, comes a lot of a lot of other tools, a lot of things that we don't need. What I have on my iPhone is I have Covenant Eyes, which is basically it's a browser that any websites that you visit, you know, it goes through the Covenant Eyes servers and filters, and it sends out an email. And we'll talk to those guys here in just a minute about what they do. But what I had to do was take my iPhone to a friend of mine. His name is ironically Samson. And I had him disable Safari, and I had him put a password that I don't know for installing apps.
Sometimes that simple blind is the best way, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and it's just as simple as that. But what when I got into it, even after installing the Covenant Eyes and disabling Safari, what I found was some of the apps that are on the phone have browsers built into them that circumvent the Covenant Eyes browser. And so, you know, for example, you might go into an app and you go into the help section. And in the help section, the way that the programmers wrote their software, the help section like actually pulls a web page.
And we don't want to give people like hints or anything. You're like,
well, I mean, maybe or maybe not, because to me, you know, there may be some accountability partners out there that think that their buddies are okay with the iPhone, but they're not.
So there's ways around
it? Yeah, there are. And so what I had to do is I had to go find the ways around it and delete those apps. And it was a bummer because
some of them were very useful apps.
Some of them were very useful
apps.
And
you, quote-unquote, have to have your phone for work, quote-unquote. And how long has the iPhone been out?
Two years? Yeah,
and
years.
How long have you had your job?
Enough two,
said.
Two, three,
thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Point made. And, but it is interesting that the app, I just did my my son's as well, and but he has an iTouch. So... it's basically the same thing, right?
It is.
So
it
I should maybe go in there and have a look-see at those apps, because he's a lot smarter than me on the iPhone thing. It's spooky how good he is.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where I have maybe five or six games, and I have two or three tools. Everything else I've had to delete because it provided access to, you know, temptation, things that I just don't need to be involved in.
Well, the thing that you went to Samson for, he showed me. And show me how to, like, disable and delete all these things. And then he told me to put the password in. And my son's 12, okay? So, and then he had installed a browser, for, Covenant Eyes and stuff. And, our, you know, so, I think that you are right. I think that, the iPhone is the next real big challenge for folks.
It is.
I'm glad that the Covenant Eyes people are there for us. And we're going to have a conversation with them at Covenant Eyes when we come back at the Pirate Monk Podcast.
Yo, ho, a pirate's life for me. With us, we plunder, we rifle, and look, drink up, be hearty, and badminton. Don't you ever hope to me. I'm his yo-ho. Yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me.
And we're back at the Pirate Monk Podcast, and joining us now from Covenant Eyes is Luke Gilkerson and Scott Hammersley. Is that how you say that?
That's correct.
Wow, that's pretty good. Nice. And you guys you're the creators, right? You are the guys who made Covenant Eyes.
Well, we're not the guys that made Covenant Eyes. We now belong to the company and work on it. But
no, the genius who created it Ron DeHaas, who's our president.
Colin Rose.
Okay.
Yeah, and Colin Rose, who was how old when he wrote the program?
Well, he was, I think, 18 or 19. He is very much a gifted individual who had the ability to do a lot of things, and he had some people come alongside him and help him. And this was around the year 2000, 2001 that the foundation was laid for Covenant Eyes.
Wow.
I joined the company part-time in May or June of 2002 and came on full-time in 2003. And so I've had my fingers in a lot of the technical pieces of the pie here.
Wow.
But I wouldn't claim that I own it.
As a creator, yeah.
That is funny. Okay, so like who makes the decisions now in terms of software and where you're going and how that moves and everything like that, the new technologies you're moving into and that sort of thing?
It really is a team system. We've got several people. We call them product owners that actually are representing our customers as best as they can. And we also have we have some people over in sales and marketing that give us feedback. But it's really a corporate. We come together in a meeting. We talk about what are our priorities, what are we hearing from our customers, but also looking ahead to see the amazing thing about the internet is access to it has changed so rapidly over the past few years and is going to continue to change rapidly. We're trying to keep up with the technology. So we're really kind of listening to what the people that use Covenant Eyes are telling us, but also looking ahead to see what's on the horizon that we should be dealing with before people even know that they want it.
And what are not the emerging technologies, but the things that people are using right now that you see as the most important things right now to be getting Covenant Eyes for and to be interfacing with?
Well, certainly the staple for years has been Windows, which is still a strong force, and the Mac operating system as well. But people are really moving to mobile devices. So if I had to say the two big mobile devices are the iPhone and Android is emerging and coming quickly. So those are the two mobile devices. We support Windows Mobile devices, Windows Mobile 6 and 6.1, and we also have an iPhone app as well.
What is Windows? I don't believe I've heard of Windows before. I'm sorry. I'm like a hardcore Mac guy, so.
Okay.
I had the Jurassic Max, you know what I mean? I'm like way back.
That's so funny.
The iPhones and the Droids. Now, who makes the Androids? Motorola or
HTC?
HTC
makes one of the Google operating system phones. And guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but is Android operating system is Linux based, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so it's got a Linux kernel running in it.
So, and most of this stuff does. Is that not right? Like, even the upper echelon stuff of Windows now is kind of Unix-based? Or?
No, Windows isn't Unix-based. They made a switch to a Unix-type architecture with their kernel a long time ago, but once they got out of Windows 95 world. But, yeah, Windows really is a completely different animal than OS X, Unix, Linux.
Just crap that doesn't work. Yeah, I got you. Okay. All right. So the
now, I'm sensing a slight bias here.
Yeah.
I'm not sensing any kind of favoritism against one operating system or the other here with David.
Yeah, it's so funny. Now, do y'all have anything? I use a lot of Palm stuff too. Still. Even though stuff is starting to move away from that, I've used Palm and for years and years and years. Is there anything that like addresses that at all?
Not that we have, no.
Oh, man. Okay.
Palm.
I believe that the Palm Web OS is also a Linux kernel-based operating system.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Which means?
Well, it's the same core as, you know, Ubuntu, or I want to say OS X, even though technically that's Unix, but it's still this very, very similar operating system.
Right.
And Android, again, uses the Linux-based
kernel.
So, yeah.
I mean, by extension, what are you saying? So that's what I'm saying. Are you saying that there'd be something you could probably get for it?
Or? Yeah, I mean, as soon as a viable solution exists for the Linux kernel-based devices, whether they be desktops, laptops, mobile phones, whatever else Steve Jobs can dream up, once that's in place, we're good to go. I mean, we'll be able to cover a lot of devices.
Okay. Well, and what about this this iPad thing, guys? I mean, is that like something that you say? I would think that that would be like a real trouble spot. I mean, it seems like an easy way to get porn, actually.
Yeah, we haven't even had a chance to look into one of those. They're not even shipping yet. And so it really just depends on what operating system it's based on. If it's based on Mac OS, then us having a solution on it wouldn't be that difficult. But if they've locked it down like they did the iPhone,
right.
The interesting thing about the iPhone is, as Apple came out with this idea that they wanted to promote people developing applications for it.
Right.
And so you can develop an application, but they really isolated all the applications so that one application couldn't mess up another application's workspace.
Okay.
And so they really locked it down to the point where an application could do useful things, but what Covenant needs to do is really see all the network communications, the internet information flowing back and forth, and Apple's kept us way far away of that, as well as everybody else. And so if they go the same approach with the iPad that they did with the iPhone, we're kind of stuck with the, you write your own application to do browsing and then lock down the device so that other applications that can do browsing can't be installed on it. But we haven't really had a chance to look into it yet.
That's exactly what I was talking with David about. Yeah. Let me ask you guys a question. Theoretically, if you were to write an application for a jailbroken iPhone, not that you would do that, you know, but would you know, if you were going to go that route, would you have access to all of the networking layers that you would need access to?
Well, after we had repented from jailbreaking our phone, we would probably find that it's still difficult to get at the pieces of information that you need to get to. When we first started looking at the iPhone, we did actually look at a device that we hadn't jailbroken, but somebody else had, so
right,
I guess that's
right,
technically
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we really just wanted to get the lay of the land and what was possible given all the features that the iPhone had. And it still doesn't give you what you need because Apple is still very isolated. I don't want to go into all the technical details, but we have looked at it, and there's certain interfaces that we have to have that are not there even on a jailbroken phone.
Interesting.
Well, and so just for the stupid people like me at home, the jailbroken phones are phones that somebody has hacked.
Yes.
And when they hacked it, why did they hack it?
The iPhones were hacked because initially Apple wasn't allowing third-party developers to write native applications. If you wanted to write an app for the iPhone, it had to be a web app that ran in Safari. And, you know, rogue developers out in the world recognized the possibilities of being able to write native applications, you know, speed and all sorts of things, access to the storage on the phone, all kinds of different reasons why a native app would be better than a web app.
Mm-hmm.
course, I think with HTML5 and getting into that, it's kind of going to blur the lines a little bit. But yeah, initially the iPhones were jailbroken for that reason, and the other reason was so that they could move the phone away from AT&T.
Right.
That they could run it on any other of the GSM networks. But then once the iPhone was opened to developers, third-party developers, you started seeing less and less jailbroken iPhones, although there are definitely scores of them out there, and they're still continuing to hack that software. I don't condone it. I don't recommend it. I don't have any of my stuff jailbroken, primarily because it violates the terms of service. You're breaking copyright law.
Okay.
When you do that.
Also, if you jailbreak your phone, it also voids your warranty. So if something bad happens to your phone, you've then got a nice desk weight.
Yeah.
Paperweight. Yeah. So you Paperweight. Mean something terrible like the screen cracking? Oh, never mind. Because they don't cover that.
Right.
And that's the only thing I ever see wrong with them. You guys, now, when you're talking about those, but you also mean iPod touches too, right? That's all kind of the same thing?
Yeah, the iPhone apps run on both iPhones and iPod touches.
Right. Okay, and that's really, now when you came on board, I'd love for both Scott and Luke to answer this individually. When you came on board with Covenant Eyes, what was it like a ministry thing or for you, or was it just a job or what made you want to get into this type of work?
Well, that's an interesting question. For me, it was both. I've been in the computer industry for almost 30 years now, and I'll try and keep this short.
That's fine.
I was baptized in January of 2002, and I'd been doing computer programming all my life, and I loved it. I still do. And when the opportunity for Covenant Eyes came up, I was looking for a job. I think God ordained that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it gave me a chance to use my technical skills for kingdom purposes, and that was really a motivator for me, and still continues to motivate me, that this isn't about my job anymore. It is more of a ministry thing. And the really cool part about working here is we get testimonies from our customers on a regular basis. And all the software guys out there and technical people will relate that typically you get so bogged down in the things that aren't working and the things that are wrong with your software and things like that, that you can get pretty negative about things pretty easily. But then you read a testimony about what your software does and how it impacts people's lives. And these are real people. You're making a difference in helping them fight the battle. And that's just tremendously rewarding and encouraging and really keeps you moving on.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas Scott deals more with the technical side, I'm over, I write for our blog and do our podcast and things like that. And, I'm always constantly monitoring the internet and hearing what people are saying about our software and just the space of, in the space of interest that we have, people who are talking about the kind of things we're interested in. And I find it, for me, a job here at Covenant Eyes, felt quite a bit like a calling more than a job. I mean, I really appreciate the paycheck for sure, but at the same time, because really it's a paycheck that frees up time for me to do the thing I love. For me, I was a man who was hopelessly drawn towards, habitually drawn towards. I hated the way that it came to control my life, control my mind, control my heart. I hated the ground that I'd given to it, and really one of the big things that helped me to break free from that was actually getting into honest, redemptive relationships with other people in the body of Christ, with other men in the body of Christ. And accountability was kind of a part of that. And so for me, coming to Covenant Eyes was a lot like, getting to put into practice some of the, and getting to share with the world a lot of the things that I've been learning about what it really means to have real good, real relationships in the body of Christ, and how accountability is a crucial tool in our relationship tool belt to help people break free from the habits that have them enslaved, and to really walk in freedom. And so, for me, that's one of the things I love about working. I've been here for a little over 2 years now, and I absolutely love it. It's a time for me to really engage with people all everywhere out there in the world, interacting online for the most part. Being able to hear their story and being able to tell my story, and being able to share how accountability can really be a tool in the hand of God to set people free.
So then, what do you think then? What would you say to the guy out there who's like, he's actually just maybe sort of for the first time confronting some of these things? Because you know, with all these listeners, there's got to be some, at least a significant percentage of them, who are going, well, I don't really need a filter. I don't really need all that stuff, or they're thinking about getting it. You know, what would you say to them?
Well, first thing I would say to them is that they need to take a long, hard look at their heart on what they think they need. If they feel like there's that the internet is a place where they're constantly ensnared to rush into sin, I would say they need to take a long, hard look at their heart to see what it is they think they need. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 to take a look at the things that that are causing us to rush into sin, whether it be our eye or our arm, and to hack it off if need be. And when people take a more nonchalant approach to their sin, to something that is ensnaring them, then that's not the way of Jesus. Jesus had a very radical approach towards sin, and that was take a look at the thing that's causing the stumbling, and throw it from you, cast it away. The other thing I would say is that technology really is only as good as the hearts of the people who are using it. Technology is a great tool, but you need the right relationships in place for that technology to really have value. So, for instance, our accountability software and the reports that are sent out to accountability partners, we have got over 60,000 users of the software, and then, you know, each user has anywhere from 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, as many accountability partners as they want. Really, those internet reports are only as good as the relationships that we have with the people who are reading them. A good technology like Covenant Eyes is just a tool that helps that accountability relationship stay honest, stay real, stay forthright, to stay engaged. That's what we're trying to do here, is to help those relationships grow and be fostered, and to really help those redemptive relationships in the body of Christ soar to new heights.
Right.
So I would say, you know, look at technology. You've got to look at technology, but at the same time, don't see technology as the quick fix to your problems, because your problem is not the computer, even though that is the stumbling block for you. Your problem is your heart. Your problem is your heart, and only relationships help reveal that.
Yeah, your problem is you. Yeah. We have seen the enemy, and he is us. What I would say also is, like, okay, so let's, the guys that are like really there and they're ready to buy it, and they're ready to really get into a relationship with somebody like that, what is the information that you're actually going to include in a report?
We keep track of all the websites that you go to, and we also keep track, there's other internet news groups. We keep track of the news groups you go to and files that you transfer through the FTP, and I'm getting a little too technical, but basically we try and monitor what you do on the internet, and then we summarize it in an accountability report. And we evaluate the sites that you go to for level of maturity or objectionable material, and we highlight the websites that you go to that we think might be troublesome. But no evaluation system is perfect. And so, like Luke said, it's really good to have an accountability partner that's going to take a close look at where you've been and what you've done, and will even ask you about simple things like, boy, you're spending a lot of your time on ESPN during working hours. Do you really think that's wise use of your time?
That's good. See, I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's something Nate Larkin said about that when I interviewed him for our podcast here a couple months ago, was, you know, he says his accountability relationship with his the guy who gets his report, he has guys who get his report, and he loves that they call him out just about on anything. You know, why did you look up the word swimsuit on
nice.
Google? You know, even if it didn't yield anything all too tempting for you, was that really a good idea?
Yeah.
Type that in. You know, why do that? And transparency with
right.
your accountability partner that mm-hmm. Covenant Eyes gives people.
Now, I have a question. I get several people's reports, and there's a thing of hours, like a graph of hours where they spend most of their time. And
right. yeah.
and I'm wondering how accurate those are. Or do they change by time zones, and should I be changing it for my time zone? Because it seems like if they're correct, that this one or two guys that I'm thinking of spend like all their time at 2 or 3 a.m. on the computer. However, I know that, I mean, what they're telling me is they're sleeping. Should I be like worried? Should I be going, you're lying?
probably their time zone setting isn't correct, so they'd probably just get to their, I'm assuming they're Mac users.
Yes, Mac users, that's right.
Yeah, they go to the member center and configure the time zone. They're probably at GMT, so they would just have to go in and set their time zone correctly.
Okay, and the preferences or what do they call that for at your site at Covenant Eyes?
Yeah, you'd have to go to covenanteyes.com and log into our member center, and there's a setting in there. I think it's filter and time settings. I'd have to look it up. I don't go in and change my time zone that frequently.
Well, you know, that's I'm just asking you because, you know, I had you here on the phone, you know, and you were a captive audience.
Yeah.
And I've been wondering for a while.
This isn't a tech support
well,
call.
Well, keep also, if you realize if after those time zone settings are corrected,
right,
and you still notice the same, if you notice a pattern of surfing at 2 and 3 in the morning,
right,
when they say they're asleep, that I think is a really good indication that a conversation is needed.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, because ultimately the Covenant Eyes report is not the judge and jury of what's going on. It's that accountability relationship, you know. Who knows? Maybe the guy has his little brother steal his computer at 2 and 3 in the morning, and he's unaware of it. Maybe that's his story. But you don't know that until you have that conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that actually has happened before, where the babysitter's been the culprit and not the
kid.
Accountable. So that has, it's rare, but we have seen instances of that.
Wow. And didn't you have a question, Jason?
I do have a question. It's kind of a technical question, really, because I know there's going to be some guys that are going to tune
oh, Lord.
Into
Here
this
we go.
Podcast that want to get technical. you mentioned some of the protocols that you monitor, FTP and NTP. Do you also monitor HTTP traffic over alternate ports? Like, I mean, any alternate port, do you capture all HTTP traffic, or is it just over 443 and 80?
That's a really good question. We monitor all ports, and so if we see the HTTP protocol, we report it.
Good. Wait a minute. That was not a good question. I didn't even understand the question. What did you just ask him?
Well, essentially, if you think of the internet, you know, as a road system or what have you,
uh-huh.
Most people drive on the pavement.
Right.
Okay.
On the HTTP
yeah.
highway.
Well, HTTP is your vehicle. Okay.
Right. Oh, okay.
The
that's
highway
your
is your port.
Hypertext.
That's your yeah.
Okay.
So the highway would be your port.
Okay.
You can go off road on the internet, and you can take a different port,
right.
Which basically just means you're sending traffic over a different route.
Okay.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of the reasons is to hide your web traffic.
Right. And so people get these things that are they share files back and forth, and it has nothing to do with browsers or anything.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure that you guys carry that because I have a particular guy who that's his thing. And like, I catch him all, not all the time, but regularly. I have to nail him for finding a new, you know, file sharing software and downloading that. You know what I mean? And he'll go, well, I didn't need it for that. I'm like, oh, well, what did you need it for?
Yeah.
What did you need it for? And so that's the kind of thing you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. It's just, you know, I want to make known to me and to others that are using the software that, you know, if you're using the software right, like you guys were saying, it is about the accountability and the relationships, and that's the bigger picture. But there is the more technical aspect of, you know, you can't get around this. You guys are gonna, it's gonna be caught, and somebody's gonna see it. And so if guys that understand how to go off road try to do that, that they're gonna have some questions that they have to answer.
Luke and Scott, do y'all use your own software?
Absolutely. Yes, we do.
Yeah. And
yeah,
so,
I hold several guys accountable, and then I'm held accountable also by several guys. It's wonderful, really. I mean, I have conversations on a weekly basis with both people I hold accountable and people who hold me accountable.
Mm. Wow. And what about so you have brothers who are like you're not giving your stuff to your wife, right? Or are you?
My wife does not receive my reports, although we did a survey recently and we found that I think about 30%, or actually about 33%, about a third of the people who use our software have a report sent to their spouse. I personally don't do that, but I know some people who do. I think it depends on the person and on their situation. I think I was talking just real recent here, just last month, with Joe Dallas from Genesis Counseling, and he had a really insightful thing to say. He said that when it comes to receiving internet accountability reports from Covenant Eyes or whatever, if your wife gets that, if she doesn't get that, you know, that's just based on your marriage and, you know, the kind of communication you have with your wife. But really, while a husband is to be accountable to his wife, that does not necessarily mean that she is to be his accountability partner, in the sense that she's the one that's probing and, digging beneath the surface and trying to find out why did you do this at this time and all this kind of stuff. Obviously, honesty with your spouse is a good thing, but needing to know all the nitty-gritty details and having a wife who's always digging into those details, often that puts her in a mothering role,
right,
with her husband, and that is always
recipe
to be
for disaster. Yeah.
That's a dangerous recipe there for any marriage, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think my own personal stuff is sent to my wife mainly because that's not my story, so. But it's still this huge speed bump for me. You know what I mean? Like, if I ever even think about, like, you know, going somewhere that I shouldn't, or like, you know, something that I might think that's okay that I'm kind of sure she might not think is okay. You know what I mean? So like, for me, like, I'm serious. Like, every time I make a click on my computer, I'm like, you know, I think about it every single time. So, but I think that if I wanted somebody to be accountable to, as you were saying, in a probing sort of way, I would not want, that's sort of a fatherly, motherly kind of thing. And that's a recipe for disaster, I believe, if you make your wife your mom, you know? So,
Exactly. We have a lot of guys who, after we just made a video here, last year, featuring some of our software users, where a couple was talking about this, where they were talking about the dynamic in their relationship and how pornography had damaged that. And she in the video, she talks about how he gets his accountability reports, but then she follows it up with, I love that other men are receiving this report and going through it with a fine-tooth comb and talking to him about it. She loves that Covenant Eyes has helped to bridge that gap from where they were in that place of distrust and that place of breaking trust back to a place of trust again. She loves that Covenant Eyes has been integral in that, but she loves even more the fact that he has good relationships, good mentoring relationships, good accountability relationships with other men in their church that she trusts. Because that's what really brings that dynamic of trust back to their relationship, because she knows that he's doing his work with those other guys.
And there you are. It's entrusting somebody to their brothers, I think, is like, you know, is really the way to go.
And that's not something you can write with code.
Nope, can't write that with code.
No.
Well, guys, we appreciate you spending the time with us today. And we're gonna, if you'll allow us, we might check back in with you as technology changes, which is about every 2 weeks. So, so, you know, if we could just check back in with you every once in a while, and when we have Nate back, I'd love to just like let him pick your brain some too. And we just appreciate you spending time with us here on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. Well, thanks for what you do too. Yeah, I know you guys are a big part of helping people as well, and so thank you for what you do.
You're welcome. Thank you. We'll be back on the Pirate Monk Podcast.
Whoa, pirate's life is a wonderful life, a roving over the sea. Give me a career as a buccaneer, it's the life of a pirate for me. Oh, the life of a pirate for me.
Hey, we're back at the Pirate Monk Podcast, and Jesse, you know, it's really interesting what we were saying there off mic with those guys. You know, it really isn't in the end about code, it's about brotherhood.
That's
but
right.
But the code helps.
The code does help.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, having access that I do to an operating system that not a lot of people know about, it's important for me. It's even more important for me to have those brothers that can ask me about it, whether they see a report or not.
Right.
For them to be aware that, you know, that's something that I've struggled with in the past and even still I'm tempted by on a daily basis. I mean, I don't think you can go anywhere in the last month or so without seeing that stupid swimsuit issue cover on some ad, you know. And so there's always the temptation to get into it and
what are you talking about?
So, but you know, it's important to have those relationships in place.
Yeah.
And
but what I love though, see, about the software part is the ability, just like I think it was Luke was saying, that you're able to say, tell me about this search for Mega Mindy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
what is that exactly?
Yeah, and I had my partner call me and he said, why are you doing a search for, and he said some teen celebrity.
Right.
And it really struck me because I hadn't, you know, done that. And then I remembered that I put Covenant Eyes on our family computer and my teenage daughter had gone to Nickelodeon or whatever it was,
right.
Disney Channel or something like that. And was like trying to print out, you know, a poster of this girl. Yeah.
Okay.
And so we discovered based on what time it was that, you know, it was just after she got home from school, I was still at work and that sort of thing. So, but yeah, I mean, I was so glad for him to ask me that because it told me he's paying attention.
He's paying attention.
You know,
yeah.
And so I better not.
And that's what all the guys that I do for too. That's exactly what they say. It's like, golly, you ask me about every single freaking thing.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, if you don't want me to look, and really the time thing had been the only thing that I can be aware of. Now, just for you, like, what are the emerging technologies that you see that maybe we should be preparing for now? And what are just some of the trouble spots that you see?
I see a lot of these open webcam sites where you can connect to a webcam with a stranger.
Mm.
And there's a lot of that. There's in terms of software, in terms of, you know, what you can get yourself in trouble with,
right.
with the existing technologies, with the existing hardware. Emerging hardware, of course, we have the iPad
coming up.
And the iPad runs on the same operating system that the iPhone runs on.
Okay.
So any applications that you have running on the iPhone are going to be available on the iPad.
So Covenant Eyes, they don't have a thing for that?
They do. They have a browser.
Oh, they do have a browser.
Yeah, they have a browser for the iPhone, which you'll be able to run on the iPad. That's
my understanding.
Okay. And I'm sure, you know.
So the iPad is essentially just a giant iPhone?
Unfortunately, that's pretty much what they've got it down to at this point. There is no camera.
With a three-hour battery life. I love that.
No, well, I understand that it's a 10-hour battery life.
Well, you know.
We'll see.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Right. Well, we'll see when it comes out. I haven't got my hands on one, but I'm excited to have one just because, you know.
Because you're a geek.
Well, yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
No, you know, I kid you, but like I'm the Uber nerd. I mean, I'm the guy who knows all the history facts and like I'm just like all about books and like, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So
no, I don't take offense. I get paid for, you know, being a geek and a nerd, so it's totally fine.
It's kind of become a badge of honor these days.
Yeah,
you know?
Really?
It's like, yeah, that used to be stupid.
Finally.
Revenge of the Nerds.
That's right.
So there you are. It happens, and you've heard it here first. Well, you know, you've been listening to the Pirate Monk podcast from SamsonSociety.org, and my special guest today has been Uber Nerd, Super Geek, Man About Town, and Samson Brother, Jesse Thuin, who has helped us talk through and just sort of sort through some of the issues here and talk with intelligence to Covenant Eyes about what they have been doing, where they came from, where they're going, and some of the emerging technologies. And we hope that you will go to CovenantEyes.com. And if you haven't gotten the software, that you'll download it, that you'll open up the conversations, that you'll begin to have these brotherhood moments that we've been describing here today, and just get plugged in like that. You need to start living openly and honestly before people. And you know what? We're gonna have another show for you, and we'll see you next week here on the Pirate Monk Podcast.
We are the pirates. Don't do anything. We just say it all. Bye.